All right, hear me, hear me, hear me. The Wisconsin Supreme Court is now in session. The Honorable Chief Justice Jill Karofsky presiding. Your silence is commanded.
Good morning, everybody. Go ahead and have a seat. Remember your glasses. We two cases on for this morning. The first state is the Wisconsin State Legislature versus Attorney General Call. Can we start with the appearances, please? Good morning. Good morning to both of you. What I have is 25 minutes from the Department of Justice, Mr. Saitlin, 30 minutes, 5 minutes for rebuttal. My guess is that my colleagues are going to have questions today, so I'm just going to perhaps going over your time limit. So just so everyone knows at the top end, I'm just going to give everyone the opportunity to ask their questions and for you all to answer questions, so it's not a rush to the microphone from us or for you either. And I'll try to make it as fair as I possibly can time-wise. Sound good? Okay. All right. Awesome. Go ahead.
Madam Chief Justice, and may it please the court. The Attorney General shall deposit all settlement funds into the general fund. When the legislature first brought this case, it was all about that language. Wisconsin Act 2017, Wisconsin Act 369's amendment to Wisconsin Statute 16510. And as we have explained for years, that language, consistent with the statutory definition of general fund and the meaning of deposit into the general fund that is used throughout Wisconsin statutes, simply requires the Attorney General to take the money that was outside of the state treasury and put it into the state treasury and not into segregated funds. As we have explained, to hold otherwise would be to upend Wisconsin's budget statutes. Thankfully, the legislature now appears to agree that we are indeed depositing the monies into the general fund. It advances no argument otherwise to this court. So, at this stage in the litigation, what really is the disagreement between the parties? The legislature's case now boils down to essentially two narrower arguments. First, it argues that while other monies from settlements may be credited to various Department of Justice appropriations, we must nevertheless credit attorneys' fees specifically to general purpose revenues because of 16510. Plus the last sentence of 20.906 sub 1. And second, it argues that we may no longer credit settlement funds to our proceeds from services 3G appropriation based on the language of that appropriation itself. Both arguments are resolved under straightforward statutory interpretation principles. The legislature's attorney's fees argument must fail because it would also lead to results that would upend the budget statutes and cause consequences that the legislature itself has conceded cannot occur. And the legislature's proceeds from service argument is belied both by the text of that appropriation and its statutory history. So, starting with attorney's fees, because this is important, the legislature has now shifted the weight of its argument off of 16510 and to the last sentence of Wisconsin Statute 20.906 sub 1, which today I'll call the if no other account rule. And so, what 20.906.1's last sentence says is that for monies that have been deposited, they shall be credited to the general purpose revenues of the general fund unless otherwise specifically provided by law. And the legislature hangs its attorney's fees argument on that provision, but here too, it makes some significant acknowledgments. The legislature now recognizes that a depositing instruction and accrediting appropriation need not be addressed in the same statute. That was a central part of its argument in the Court of Appeals, and the Court of Appeals relied on that argument for its decision. Now it recognizes that's no longer the case. It also recognizes that 16510 plus 20.906 sub 1 doesn't, for example, preclude the Department of Justice from depositing restitution that the department receives through settlements, deposits into the general fund, and credits to our restitution 1HM appropriation to be provided to to-be-identified victims of civil enforcement violation. It doesn't dispute that those two statutes allow that movement. And yet, with regard to attorney's fees, it argues that 16510 and 20.906 sub 1 are doing different work. The last sentence of 20.906 sub 1 provides is that if there's no other law, then the money goes to general purpose revenues. But here, each and every one of the 13 statutes that are cross-referenced in our attorney's fees 1GH appropriation are laws that specifically provide for the department's recoupment of attorney's fees. And those laws also, each and every one of them, tells us to deposit those monies and credit them to our attorney's fees appropriation.
I will ask a question.
Great.
Waiting with bated.
I'm ready.
Yeah. I want to give you a chance to address the legislature's argument about just what practical effect you think this statute has. You know, there's a couple possibilities, I suppose. One is that the legislature didn't effectively accomplish what it meant to accomplish. The other is that it did, but more in a more limited way. And you feel free to take it any way you want. Do you think the legislature didn't accomplish what it intended to the extent we know what it intended to do? And I know that's not our main concern, but obviously that was maybe a big part of the Court of Appeals rationale in trying to make sense to make this 16510 effective. Mm-hmm. And then what you think it actually prohibits the Attorney General from doing that wasn't the case before.
Right. So first, as to the intent question, and I know Your Honor understands, when we're looking at statutory interpretation, that's of course not where we start. Mm-hmm. But to the extent that the legislature's argument is that Act 369 intended to take the monies that were understood to be settlement funds and preclude this attorney general from having discretion over their expenditure, Act 369 did that. What 16510 requires is that the attorney general take monies from multi-state settlements that are left to his discretion beyond reasonable attorney's fees and monies we're crediting for other specific remedial applications, money that's left to his discretion, and said, you have to put it into the state treasury. And then, because now it has to be in the state treasury, it is routed to an appropriation, that being our 3G proceeds from services appropriation, which through the changes that Act 369 made to that appropriation itself, we now do not have discretion to expend those monies. So if the intention was to prevent the Attorney General's expenditure of what settlement funds as properly understood, it did that. There are now monies sitting there that are left to the Attorney General's discretion that the Attorney General cannot spend. Instead, I think what the court is seeing in the legislature's arguments are unsupported assertions about some sort of broader intent that frankly have no support whatsoever in the text of the statutes, in statutory history, or frankly, if we're going to talk about intent, and I don't think the court needs to get to legislative history, but even if you wanted to look at the legislative history, there's simply no support for the position that they're taking now that somehow attorney's fees can also be looped in to that provision.
I just want to make sure I understand. Mm-hmm. I understand the point that there's a prohibition on spending money that's been put under that was in 3G and there's money there. But what effect do you think 16510 specifically
had? So 16510 requires the Attorney General to put that money into the treasury, and he can't put it right into a segregated fund. And so that's a significant thing, because these monies are we're talking about uncommitted multi-state monies that are left to his discretion. So that, for example, prohibits the attorney general from taking those monies and, for example, donating them to a nonprofit or giving them immediately to a non-state entity. And that's a significant limitation, because that limitation was not previously there. It's doing work. It's just not the work that the legislature now says it wants. And I think, to go back to the intent point, when we're looking at the assertions that the court hears from the legislature today about intent, which is that actually, no, this money was supposed to instead go to general purpose revenues, that does not make sense based on the changes that Act 369 itself made to the 3G appropriation.
Just to make sure I understand, sorry. So your argument is that the effect of it was to take uncommitted monies that the settlement agreement didn't spell out going necessarily to any specific thing, and now required that to go into the general fund, whereas before the attorney general might have been able to do other things with it? Or feel free to clarify.
So I want to be very clear. So in multi-state settlement agreements, because we as the state of Wisconsin are not the only state crafting the settlement agreement, right? So in our single state settlement agreements, we are able to specifically provide for each individual amount, attach that to a specific provision. It's all laid out. Here we're talking about one global agreement where multiple states are involved. And so the way these settlements typically work is that there is an amount of money that is left to each state, and the settlement will say that money is left in the attorney general's discretion to be spent for reasons including consumer protection, for example, or attorney's fees like that. So historically, every version, and there's been one before, the current version of 16510, the previous version of 16510, and Act 369 itself both understood the term settlement funds to mean those monies from multi-state settlements where we get the money, restitution goes to restitution, attorney's fees goes to attorney's fees. If there's money that has to be credited to other state agencies for their help in the investigation or prosecution, the money goes there. The remainder is the money, these proceeds from our services that are credited to the 3G appropriation. And so what Act 369 did was it ensured that those monies from the multi-state settlements have to come into the state treasury, into the general fund, which means they can't immediately be put into separate trust funds. And then because our separate crediting statutes already existed and were not changed by Act 369 as to what money can be credited to them, then the 3G appropriation itself routes that money to that appropriation. And what Act 369 did do was it removed the department's and restricted the department's expenditure authority that existed before Act 369. So whereas previous attorneys generals were putting settlement, depositing settlement funds, crediting settlement funds, there wasn't the deposit requirement. They did deposit the settlement funds. They would be credited to 3G, our proceeds appropriation, but they could spend them. That can no longer happen because of Act 369.
One other follow-up question on settlement funds. You make the argument that it's just limited to multi-state litigation. I was unpersuaded by the arguments in your brief, to put it frankly. It didn't make sense to me that just as a matter of plain English, that funds would be restricted to that. So give me another round here. Tell me why settlement funds are restricted to just that.
So I'm going to try first to build on the argument we made in our brief, and then I'm going to try it a different way. I think when we look at, we know that settlement funds has to have a technical meaning, right? And that is, it's not defined. It also cannot mean, I think both sides are now in agreement on that, every dollar that could be received from a settlement, because that would include a number of things that the legislature has conceded would be unconstitutional, right? So money, the restitution, money that belongs potentially to other states or to the federal government. So it has to have a narrower meaning than that. So if it has a narrower meaning than that, what is the meaning? So we look at statutory history. The only prior version of 16510 use the term settlement funds to mean those uncommitted discretionary monies that are credited to our proceeds from services 3G appropriation. It did not, 16510 did not impose a passive Joint Committee on Finance review process for any monies other than settlement funds from that appropriation. Then we see Act 369 itself ordered a one-time lapse of settlement funds. From where? Only from our proceeds 3G appropriation, not from anywhere else, including our attorney's fees 1GH appropriation. Act 369 also restricted, as I've mentioned, the expenditure authority from that. And so I think settlement funds has to have, if the court reaches it, and we've explained in our briefs why I think the court doesn't even need to reach the definition of settlement funds, because deposit into the general fund really answers the question. But if it does, we know settlement funds has to have a narrower meaning than any potential dollar that could be received from a settlement. And the only narrower meaning that could be supported is the money we credit to our proceeds appropriation. And let me explain why, if I could try one other piece further. Because if it were broader, and this is where the legislature's attempt to loop in attorney's fees becomes problematic, there's no way to carve that out in a way that wouldn't lead to constitutional problems. So if you say deposit into the general fund plus 20.906 sub 1 require the department to take anything beyond those uncommitted monies and send them to general purpose revenues, that's asking 20.906 to do the work of directing that crediting, right? Because 16510 only addresses depositing. It doesn't say anything else about crediting. And so if those two statutes are doing that work, and that requires attorney's fees to be credited to general purpose revenues, notwithstanding the existence of a crediting appropriation that says we can put them in that crediting appropriation, the same thing would have to be true for restitution that we deposit into the general fund and credit to our restitution appropriation. 16510 and 20.906 can't, those same statutes can't be doing two different forms of work. But that's the consequence of the legislature's position.
So I agree your friend on the other side maybe has some questions to answer about if all settlement funds includes everything, how that applies to these other things. But under your argument, is that the money just needs to go into the general fund and that it can be directed to the appropriate statutory and or constitutional program appropriations. So why would settlement funds need to be limited in any way
to
multi-state litigation?
Sure. So I appreciate the question. I think our reading of that is consistent with the statutory history, and that's really the reason that we advanced that definition of settlement funds, because that's been the only ever way that it's been understood. But Your Honor is right, and that's why we explain that the court need not even reach the definition of settlement funds, because the plain language and consistent use of deposit into the general fund simply means you put those monies into the state treasury and not into segregated funds, and with that, the matter is resolved. What we've asked for is consistent with how those terms are used in the budget statutes, and you don't have the constitutional problems. But if the court feels that it needs to get to that definition, it cannot be broader than the definition we provide for the reasons that I've stated. To sort of build on, so the legislature has now, as I mentioned, recognized that a depositing instruction and a crediting instruction need not exist in the same statute, but it still advances sort of an exacting language requirement as to that last sentence of 20.906 sub 1 that, if adopted, would be very problematic for the budget statutes. And so I just really want to be clear about the consequences of its position there. If the court looks through Chapter 20, what you will see are myriad program revenue appropriations that vary significantly both in scope and in how the appropriations talk about what monies may be credited to them. So for example, DACCAP has an appropriation that is limited to monies for inspecting and certifying grain shipped in and out of the Port of Superior. On the other side of the scale, you have a Department of Tourism appropriation we cite in our brief that is very broad for all monies not otherwise appropriated, received from certain sources for facilities, materials, or services. And importantly, while some of the program revenue appropriations in the general fund say that certain monies shall be credited to this appropriation, many do not. So for example, the Department of Military Affairs has an appropriation that says in full, for all monies received from gifts, grants, and bequests to carry out the purposes for which made. In all of these types of appropriations, there is another law that provides an account to which the money may be credited. So if you are an agency, or this also applies to court appropriations, right? Money comes in, you look and you say, is there another law where these monies may be credited? If there is, that last sentence of 20.906 sub 1 doesn't even come into play. There's another law that says where the monies may go, the monies go there, it's done deal. And so this court should not cut the wire on the budget statute structure across Wisconsin statutes simply for the legislature to accomplish its preferred outcome here.
Can I ask you about the 3G argument here?
Yes, absolutely.
So I want to get, if you give, can you give an understanding to us of just what exactly you think you can put in there and what not, what constitutes services or proceeds from services under your understanding? And I don't really have a good understanding of it. Is it just money that is given to the Attorney General's discretion? Is it money that is it all settlement funds? Is it include unencumbered money that could be put there if you want to? What is your argument about what needs to go there?
So the only monies that are going there from settlements are the uncommitted remaining monies from multi-state settlements. And the reason I keep saying multi-state settlements is, again, because in our single state settlements, we're able to craft them in such a way that all of the money has specific destinations otherwise to where it's going. So uncommitted money remaining from multi-state settlements, attorney's fees are credited to our 1GH attorney's fees appropriation. Restitution, there's restitution, will go to the restitution appropriation. Other state agencies' money may be credited there. So it is truly, if there's no other home for it, it goes to that appropriation as proceeds from our services. And in terms of Your Honor's question as to the sort of breadth of that language, I think when we see proceeds from services, the legislature has tried to narrow proceeds to a definition that includes only sales. We know that can't be right because the text of the 3G appropriation itself specifically tells us what types of sales are, what proceeds from what types of sales may be credited there. And that's only one of the multiple types of proceeds that may be credited to that appropriation. So it's proceeds from services, conferences, and sales of publications and promotional material.
Just to follow up. So the text just talks about proceeds from services. And so let's take, for example, we've got, some $1 million settlement, mm-hmm. okay, that Wisconsin gets some money and there's money that needs to go to restitution, attorney's fees. Let's put those things aside for a minute. And say there's $800,000 left over. Is it your position that because that's proceeds from, well, the language would seem to apply to any litigation at all, not just not just multi-state settlements, but let's maybe you can address that point, but that you can put $800,000 under the 3G account in total, are there any statutory? Your interpretation seems to potentially be without limit, at least, or if there's a limit, I don't know where you're driving it from the statute.
So that's based on sort of how we process and how agencies process appropriations. If there is a more specific appropriation that is applicable, it will be credited to that specific appropriation. And so our proceeds from services broader appropriation, and this is consistent with other agencies' appropriation, is for monies that do not have another appropriation home.
So in my example, the $800,000 would go there.
If your example is that's the money that is left where beyond restitution, beyond those other sort of specific remedial portions, yes, the money would go there.
In practical effect, nothing ends up going to GPR probably, right?
Well, because that appropriation is there and it hasn't changed.
So in the proceeds from services under your argument would apply to any kind of litigation, right? It doesn't need to be multi-state. I mean, that language doesn't say anything about settlements. The statute just says proceeds from services. So if you're interpreting that as any money received in any kind of settlement agreement with any kind of case that DOJ prosecutes, you can put anything there. Am I understanding that right?
So I think that that's right. And I don't think that's the design, okay. Right? And it's commensurate with the services that the Attorney General and the Department of Justice provides. And look, to be clear, we do not have our expenditure authority from that appropriation is significantly restricted. And the last point on that I just really want to make, because I think it's another example of an argument that the legislature has advanced that if adopted would cause significant problems for the budget statutes. The legislature makes the argument that these monies cannot be credited to our proceeds from services appropriation because they are listed in our administrative services program, that being 20.455 sub 3. That fundamentally misunderstands appropriation programs. Appropriation programs, these are what we would commonly refer to as the subsections or subheadings, right? So one for Department of Justice is legal services, two is law enforcement services, and so on. Those do not control how the appropriations may be funded, and each appropriation is a paragraph within those headings. The text of each appropriation itself tells us that. So, for example, the Department of Justice has an appropriation program for victims and witnesses. That appropriation program is not funded exclusively by victims and witnesses, just as the Department of Corrections appropriation program for adult correctional services isn't funded by adult correctional services. Rather, the appropriations themselves tell us what monies may be credited to them. And then those programs, there's appropriated to the Department of Justice for the following programs, provide the umbrella scope of coverage as to how the monies may be expended. Now, the appropriations themselves may turn that dial as well on expenditure, the programs are not controlling what money may be credited in. I see my time has expired.
It yes, is. I have a question, and I think my colleagues may as well. I'm going to allow them to ask questions.
Great.
Good question.
I have a question about 3G again. First of all, I think both sides have overcomplicated the statutory scheme to try to fit their arguments. What the text answers the question, but specifically with respect to your 3G argument, I'm still not following you at all how you can put settlement funds from adversarial litigation into a bucket that, first of all, has a title of administrative services, which, you know, titles aren't the text, but they can inform our interpretation. It looks like you're trying to fit a square peg into a round hole, if you will, because what is described under 3G has nothing to do with adversarial litigation. There is no similarity. And as I'm reading the text, there's a list here, and adversarial litigation settlement funds doesn't fit with sales of publications, promotional materials, conferences, gifts and grants, proceeds from services. And if I understand your argument, you're trying to say, well, these are legal services, mm-hmm. but then legal services are separately addressed under 1GH. And I know you had an exchange with Justice Hagedorn to some extent on your interpretation, but I'm not following it at all.
So the explanation I gave as to why it makes sense that these monies are credited to are proceeds 3G appropriation, even though they are proceeds from legal services, right? That's the, those are the appropriation programs which do not shape, and this is the answer that I gave, that do not shape what monies may be credited to them. And so that's why you'll see exceptions in our proceeds 3G appropriation for certain law enforcement proceeds, proceeds from law enforcement services that the department provides. There's no reason to accept those from being able to be credited to that appropriation if they could never be credited there anyway, because we have a separate law enforcement services program. And so that's where it's so important to understand that those, the appropriation programs, which are the subheadings, one, legal services, two, law enforcement services, three, administrative services, do not limit what monies may be credited to them. And indeed, Act 369, and I take your Honor's point about the breadth of the language. This is where statutory history, which the court just last term reaffirmed is a important part of a plain language analysis, becomes so important, because it is undisputed that prior to Act 369, that there was recognition that this proceeds appropriation in 3G was the proper home crediting home for settlement funds. It, that was recognized when we look at the first version of 165.10 that was enacted through 2017 Wisconsin Act 59. What you will see when you look through Act 59 is the legislature transferring and crediting settlement funds from that appropriation to pay for different things such as law enforcement overtime and alternatives to prosecution. So it is, it cannot be disputed that the statutory history recognizes that appropriation as the proper home for settlement funds as proceeds from our services. And importantly, Act 369 didn't change the text of what may be credited to that. Instead, it restricted our expenditure authority. And if you look at the changes that Section 21 of Act 369 made to that appropriation, it said, it added a, all proceeds shall be credited to this appropriation. So it didn't change what may come in. It told us you have to credit the proceeds there. And then it restricted our expenditure authority out.
What statute specifically authorizes the Attorney General to credit the money where you want it to be credited? I don't see any specific authorization that mentions settlement funds anywhere in the statute.
So Your Honor is right that there is not a specific crediting statute that says settlement funds, but this goes back to the importance that we do not conflate deposit and credit. Right.
And what, I don't. OK, I'm not conflating. Them. Okay. I understand depositing into the general fund. Crediting then occurs when there's, if there isn't a specific statute saying that you may credit it to a particular fund, it's credited to the general.
So that is inconsistent with how the appropriation statutes work, because when we see
how they work or how the Attorney General and the legislature have operated, because I don't care how they have operated in the past, that does not inform my interpretation of the statutes whatsoever. They may, in fact, have been operating under a misconstruction of the law, but I care about what the law says.
I understand. And so there are a number of budgetary appropriations that are broad in their terms, right? So our proceeds appropriation says it's all proceeds from services, as well as gifts and grants. That's broad language. There's broad language in a number of other appropriations.
That's administrative services. That has nothing to do with adversarial litigation. And again, I think you're reading something in the statute, because that's where the Attorney General wants the money to go. But that's not what the statute say.
Well, I think I've offered my answer as to why administrative services can't give that limitation. But look, I would also say this. The Attorney General certainly does not think that it is a productive use of those monies that have been obtained on behalf of the state to be sitting in an appropriation account where there is no authority to expend them. But that's the law that the legislature wrote. And so if the legislature now wants to change that, it has another number of options. It can, as it has before, it did this with Act 369, it can order a lapse of those monies. It could order by law, those monies be spent for important purposes, aligned with the ways they were obtained on behalf of the state. And this is what the legislature did in Act 59 when it first created 16510. But that's what Act 369 has accomplished, and the court can't rewrite that law for the legislature.
Oh, absolutely not. But what the legislature did write in section 20.906 sub 1 is a requirement that that those monies be credited to as general purpose revenues where there isn't a statute that specifically provides an alternative crediting home. And there is no statute that addresses specifically settlement funds.
So what I understand the word specific to be doing in that statute is making clear that it is not enough, for example, to say that because the Department of Transportation is responsible for roads, that if monies were to be deposited into the general fund, that those automatically would go to the Department of Transportation because they're in charge of that. There needs to specifically be an appropriation account where those monies may be applied. But that's a different question than saying that there has to be this precise, same noun, same language matchup. And that we know that can't be right because of the myriad budget statutes that use these broad terms. And there's a reason they do that. This is because we're talking about anticipating revenue that may come in. And so there's not necessarily always going to be knowledge as to what each and every dollar may, a descriptor as for each and every dollar. So agencies have to say, is there a potentially applicable place where this money can go? And if there is, that's where the money goes.
The Attorney General would concede, though, that this money that the legislature and the Attorney General are fighting over, it doesn't belong to the Department of Justice, right? Who does this money belong to?
That's correct. It belongs, it's state money just as...
It's not state money. It belongs to the people of Wisconsin. And the Constitution specifically authorizes and empowers the legislature as the people's representatives to say where the people's money will be spent. And I understand your argument to mean that, no, the Attorney General gets to usurp the people's prerogative to decide where the people's money, this is taxpayer money, it's not state money, it doesn't belong to you or us or the legislature, it belongs to the people. And the people have tasked the legislature with deciding where it's spent. And the Attorney General's argument means it's going to sit in a fund, millions and millions of dollars, and just sit there. How does that serve the people?
Well, I think that's a fair question. And that's the law that the legislature actually wrote. And so they did not change the language of what may be credited to that appropriation. And so if the legislature recognizes that it does not, and we've identified in our brief that it is not uncommon or unheard of for large amounts of money, we can debate the wisdom of that, but for large amounts of money to be sitting in appropriations without expenditure authority. And if the legislature wants those monies to go elsewhere, it can do that, but it has to do that by law.
But it depends in part where you start. Do you start with the Constitution or do you start with the statutes? And the Constitution prescribes what Justice Bradley just said. And for the legislature to relegate that duty to another branch of government, that would have to be specifically done.
So the legislature's constitutional role is to enact laws, right? Appropriate money out of the Treasury by law. And so when you look through Chapter 20, what you will see are myriad different ways that it's done that. It's created these appropriations, including a number of appropriation programs that are program revenue appropriations, that some of which use very narrow terms, others of which use broad terms. And there's nothing, the legislature has not advanced any argument that the variation in those appropriations is somehow constitutionally problematic. All that the Constitution requires is that the legislature actually appropriate the money out of the Treasury.
And Council, there's nothing stopping the legislature from, again, lapsing any funds credited to 3G.
Correct.
Or redirecting it to, I don't know, some other appropriation, transferring it in some way. And we've gone through several budget cycles and that simply hasn't happened for one reason or another. Isn't that true?
That's correct, Your Honor.
So there's nothing stopping the legislature from carrying out its constitutional powers to spend the public's money from this account.
That's correct. And when we see, again, with the recognition that before Act 369, the legislature recognized that our proceeds 3G appropriation was the proper crediting home of settlement funds. That's exactly what the legislature did. It entered laws that said, we're transferring this amount of money to that appropriation for this purpose. We're crediting this amount of money to that appropriation for that purpose of these settlement funds. And so the legislature absolutely can continue to do that. It has not done that. And to be clear, Attorney General Call has not spent a dollar of those settlement funds since the enactment of Act 369 that have been credited to that appropriation.
He may not have spent them, but there's nothing in the statutes that empower him to hold them hostage and create these obstacles that are nowhere to be found in the statute. I'm going to try one more time with my question because I'm still not following your argument. I don't know how the legislature could be clear in 20.906 sub 1, all monies paid into the Treasury shall be credited to the general purpose revenues of the general fund unless otherwise specifically provided by law. And will the Attorney General concede that settlement funds are not specifically addressed anywhere in the statutes when it comes to crediting?
No, and I won't concede that
because of the administrative services bucket you're trying to fit it in.
Because we have appropriations to which we properly credit monies that we receive, including our attorney's fees appropriation, and our proceeds appropriation. Those existed before Act 369, and after Act 369, they have not been changed as to what monies may be credited to them. And so what Your Honor's question asks is, because the exact language, right, the exact term settlement funds isn't used in a crediting appropriation, doesn't that mean, or does that create some sort of problem for 20.906 sub 1? And there I go back to the number of appropriation programs in the budget that have categories of monies that may be credited to them. These fit within those categories as to the proceeds, and the attorney's fees specifically tell us, deposit into the general fund and credit to that particular appropriation.
Setting aside attorney's fees, the rest of the settlement funds, where is that mentioned in the statutes? Because your argument reads out specifically provided by law. It absolutely reads it out because settlement funds are nowhere addressed. Attorney fees, yes, but not the rest of the settlement funds.
So to go back to some of the breadth we see in these appropriation statutes, for example, I'll return to the Department of Military Affairs appropriation I mentioned that says, for all monies received from gifts, grants, and bequests to carry out the purpose for which made. Money comes into the Department of Military Affairs. Well, is this a gift? Is this a grant? Is it a bequest? Or what? Is it something different? Right? There is a level of judgment that is made there. Your Honor is right. That's how the appropriation statutes work. And there's nothing in 20.906 sub 1 that says that that can't happen. What that sentence is saying is if there's no other law that provides a home for this money, then it goes to general purpose.
And that's what I'm trying to get at with you. There is no other law that provides a home for the settlement funds. And you're trying to put it under administrative services, even though there's another section of the statute that specifically deals with legal services, but nowhere do the statutes address settlement funds. And the military, that's not before us, right? And well, the argument that it's sort of a consequentialist argument, if we do this, then that's going to happen. I don't want to say I don't care. I care as a citizen. But as a justice, I have to interpret the law. And we are supposed to be applying the law as it's written. And I don't think your argument is.
So what I would just say to that, Your Honor, is the legislature's reading here as to these monies would require this court to read that last sentence of 20.906 sub 1 in a way that would have dramatic effect across Wisconsin's budget statutes. And so we don't think that's the right reading, but that would be the consequence because 20.906 sub 1, that's what they're asking this court to do.
Well, I agree with you. Earlier you said, you know, we're not supposed to be looking at intent, but we're also not supposed to be looking at consequences. We're supposed to be looking at the text alone. And your argument is reading words out of the text that are very pertinent to the legislature fulfilling its constitutional responsibility.
So I disagree, of course, with Your Honor on that. The last thing I would just say is the 20.906 sub 1, that unless otherwise specifically provided, only becomes relevant if there is not another appropriation where the money is maybe properly credited. And on these proceeds from our legal services, there's no dispute, there cannot be, that that's where the monies were being credited prior to Act 369, and Act 369 didn't change that. And so what the legislature is asking is for the court to rewrite that law to accomplish its outcome here, and we don't think the court should do that.
Counsel, how are you defining proceeds from legal services? Mm-hmm. I mean, what is the definition? Is that anytime the Attorney General's office does anything? Is that any settlement? I know you've been focusing on multi-state litigation, and I heard the explanation about the why, but wouldn't, if you're really saying a proceed from your services is anything you bring in, why wouldn't everything go there? Like, what is your I want your definition of proceeds from services.
Proceeds, so I would define proceeds to be, and this is consistent with the dictionary definition, let me just make sure I'm saying it correct. We know it can't be, so proceeds we know cannot be the Black's Law Dictionary definitions that the legislature put before the court, because those are limited to sales, and the text of the appropriation itself tells us that proceeds from services must be different than something from proceeds from sales. And so we have, I would define proceeds to be, I have it here. Merriam-Webster defines it as the net remainder after other charges or credits. And so I think when we take proceeds, you combine it with services. Services, the relevant definition would be an act or duty performed when the Department of Justice provides services, legal services, law enforcement services, and there is money that cannot be properly credited, doesn't have a more specific application.
Okay, where does that come from? Doesn't have a more specific application.
And that's because of the other appropriation statute. So if there is a more specific appropriation to which the monies may be credited, the monies are credited there.
Is that just by operation of the way we do things? Because couldn't all of it, in theory, just be put here? Couldn't every dollar that had that came in because of the services of the Attorney General potentially be put into 3G?
So I understand the question as I understand the operation of the appropriation statutes, and I think just as a general matter and the way we look at laws, if there's a more specific law, the money is credited there, and then because that each appropriation tells us. So if you look, for example, at the Department of Justice's appropriation programs, we also have the appropriation for law enforcement services. And there we have appropriation proceeds, appropriations. And so those are two that are exempted, right, from 3G.
Yes.
So there, those would not be credited to that appropriation because they are exempted.
They're part of 3G. Theory, what you're saying is anything that came in as a result of the services of the Attorney General.
So what I would say is, if there is, this again, I go back to the statutory history. If the court has discomfort with the idea of recognizing that proposition as a broad matter, this is where statutory history becomes relevant, because what statutory history confirms is that these settlement funds have indeed repeatedly been recognized as proceeds from services that sit within that appropriation.
Right, so they've been recognized as it, but if we just took out the statutory, the last, was it Act 59? If you took mm-hmm. that out and you just went back to the time this was enacted, in that whatever the 80s, this initial 3G language would look
87.
Pretty, mm-hmm. and it looks pretty much the same. I have it mm-hmm. here. Would your argument change?
I think it is a tougher question without the statutory history.
I mean, would it change, you know, people, the fact that people have done things not legally doesn't usually sway us, because until someone brings a challenge in court, we don't have anything to say about that as judges. So I guess, I mean, I'm just getting back to proceeds from services. So your argument would be, back then, without this middle enacted that Act 59 that did talk about the talked about what was happening, and it was definitely happening. I don't think there's a dispute about that. But at the time this was enacted, what's your best argument as to why, particularly multi-state settlements, I guess, which is what you're particularly arguing, like why that piece fits in this, or why really anything the Attorney General does wouldn't be directed to 3G?
So we wouldn't direct those monies to that appropriation if there is a more specific appropriation where they would have. They constitute, this is litigation that the department has performed on behalf of the state, pursuant to its duty to provide legal services on behalf of the state. The proceeds is the remainder that is left over on top of that. And they are quite foundationally proceeds from that service. And the last piece I would try on that, I think it's helpful to look at those law enforcement services from law enforcement proceeds that are exempted. So consider, for example, it's 20.455-2GP, which is one of the exemptions. So that provides an appropriation for proceeds for services that the Department of Justice provides, not just fees, but donations that may come in for the work that the Department of Justice does in creating, maintaining, and overseeing a statewide crime information alert network that is used by law enforcement across the state of Wisconsin to help prevent crime and find missing persons. And so when we think about the services, because I understand your honor's questions about the breadth of what we're talking about, it's commensurate with the work that the agency, that the Department of Justice is doing. And so I think that's just a reflection of the breadth of the work that the Department of Justice is doing. And there can't be an argument that we are not providing, that we don't have a duty to provide legal services. We very clearly do.
So what, I'm sorry, I'm almost done.
Please.
So what kind of money are we talking about? Like what are the things that are not otherwise committed to another appropriation? I get attorney's fees. I get investigation fees. What are we talking about here?
So I can, this is not specifically in the record, but I can tell the court.
Well, I don't necessarily want you to go outside the record, but you are making an argument to us about what it is. So, in that sense, you can argue something to us.
I guess, and maybe I misunderstood your honor's question. I understood your honor's question to be what other monies are being credited to that proceeds.
Right. And without going to something outside the record, what are you saying to us is the kind of money that can be credited there? I think you can certainly argue that to us.
Yes.
And that seems to be, I'm looking as Justice Hagedorn had said, I was trying to look for some limiting principle here. I'm hearing you say there really isn't one, but then you kind of are saying there is one because the other things go, the pieces of this go to other places. So what are we talking about here?
So if, for example, you can look at our appropriation programs, the Department of Justice provides law enforcement services. Those are enumerated in the appropriations. We provide victim witness services. There are appropriations for those.
Right.
If in provision of those services, the Department of Justice should receive money, right? We deposit that money into the state treasury. Is there a specific location to which the money may be credited? If there is not, the money that remains would be credited to that appropriation as proceeds from the services that we've performed. So that could be law enforcement, victims, witness, or legal services.
Okay, but as far as legal services go, your proceeds from legal services that's fitting into 3G, what is it?
Yeah. The only proceeds from legal services that are credited to that appropriation are the uncommitted monies from the multi-state settlements that do not have other remedial applications. So do not constitute attorney's fees, do not constitute restitution, do not constitute monies that are credited to a different state agency because of their role in assisting in the investigation. So it is truly just the remainder monies that are left to the Attorney General's discretion from multi-state settlements.
Were they specifically designated for in the settlements for the Attorney General to do something with them, like, education surrounding tobacco use or something like that?
So the way that the language of these settlements typically works, and again, we can't be the ones to craft them on our own because it's one global agreement. The language typically provides that there is X amount of dollars to the state of Wisconsin left to the Attorney General's discretion that may be used for reasons that may include consumer protection programs, that may include attorney's fees, that may include, so it's very broadly.
So in that way, is it more like a grant when you look at these? I mean, because there is this, you know, these other words in here besides proceeds from services that are gifts and grants and all proceeds from services. Is it something more like a grant? Is that why it fits in here? Is that the limiting principle? Or is it, or are you really arguing to us that it's any proceed from anything the Attorney General does to representing the state of Wisconsin?
So we haven't advanced the argument that it's a grant. I think grant we typically would understand as we apply for a particular amount of money.
Right, but more like a grant? Like I
understand the perhaps discomfort with the breadth of that position. What I would say to the court is we go back to the statutory history, and if not, we also know that what Act 369 did do is restrict our expenditure of those monies out. And so the monies that go there, we currently do not have the authority to expend the proceeds from services absent further legislative action.
And I understand that. But mm-hmm. So are you you're just asking us today, in this case, to deal with this specific area. You're not asking, or are you asking us to broadly and generally say that all services, all proceeds from the service of the Attorney General's office fits in here?
No, the court doesn't need to reach that broad of a conclusion. I think the second issue before the court today is resoundingly answered by the statutory history. And I think that's really what controls. And that's supported by the fact that the legislature then, through Act 369, didn't change what monies are credited to that appropriation, but indeed told us you need to credit those monies to the appropriation, and we're going to restrict your expenditure authority moving forward.
Thank you.
Counsel, are you suggesting that statutory history encompasses how the legislature or another branch of government have acted under the statutes?
No, statutory history is the previously enacted versions of law.
Okay, I hoped I had misheard something you said to Justice Dallet. I want to try a different tack with you about the specificity required in the statute. So in 165.10, the Attorney General shall deposit all settlement funds into the general fund. So it's used specifically there for the depositing portion, mm-hmm. right? You're relying principally, I think, on 3G. Settlement funds does not appear in 3G. Mm-hmm. So it is not specifically addressed there. And yet you're still trying to put it in the bucket where it's not mentioned. And I think Justice Dallet was getting at too, it is not like the others in the list that appear there. Mm-hmm. So how are you giving effect to the statutory requirement that for the Attorney General to credit it to a particular fund, it has to be specifically mentioned in the statutes? It seems to me that the legislature not putting it in 3G says a lot, right? They specifically called it out in 165 and it appears nowhere in 3G for crediting purposes.
But it never appeared in 3G.
Right.
But the legislature was still recognizing that those monies were being, through the previously enacted version of the statute, was recognizing the department's ability to expend those monies out. And then the legislature itself, through 2017 Wisconsin Act 59, and you can look and you can see in that budget bill, said we are transferring settlement funds from the Department of Justice's 3G appropriation to this appropriation to pay for X, to pay for Y. And so that is enacted law that recognizes that that appropriation was the proper crediting home for those monies.
How does that recognize it was an appropriate home just because the legislature is pulling it out? Perhaps it was pulling it out because it didn't belong there. You seem to suggest that by the appropriation law removing it, that it was some recognition of the validity of it being housed there.
Well, I think if the legislature is directing a specific type of money for a different specific purpose, that's the legislative recognition that those monies are properly where they are. The legislature didn't in 2017 Wisconsin Act 59 say all of those monies have to be lapsed out of the appropriation because they don't belong there. Instead, it ordered by law specific amounts to be transferred to different destination and not all.
But so you're reading into the legislature pulling the money out some kind of legislative recognition that it belonged there. Again, though, that's not statutory history, as I understand statutory history to be. The legislature's actions may not have followed the laws. The attorney general's actions may not have followed the law in the past, but that doesn't make the law something it isn't.
And I understand the question. The one last thing I would say on that is that when we look at the one-time lapse that Act 369 ordered of settlement funds from that appropriation, it didn't order a lapse of all settlement funds from the appropriation. It just ordered a lapse of unencumbered settlement funds from the appropriation. And so I would also put that is textual recognition that there would continue to be settlement funds in that appropriation.
Thanks for answering all our questions. We do have Gatorade in the back if anyone. thanks for patiently waiting, Mr. Saitlin.
Thank you.
I just want to ask you a couple questions. Mm-hmm. One is I'm looking at 3G. There are the exceptions under 2GM and GP, and one is for it's a crime information alert is GP.
Correct.
A crime history search.
Mm-hmm.
I'm trying to figure out, based on your argument, those are exceptions provided for in that statute. So if money comes in from a settlement, as you are arguing, that money could not be used for those two purposes. Is that what you're saying?
No. So the Your Honor's question goes to, and this is, I think, a significant point about these appropriation accounts. They address how money comes in, and they address on what money may come out, right? And so what that is saying in our 3G appropriation is the text says all proceeds from services, sales, the rest of it, except as provided in those two statutes. So that's telling us that those proceeds go to the separate appropriation accounts.
Right. So if they came in for 2GM or GP for either one of those purposes, they would go right to those.
They would be credited to those appropriations.
So I worked at the Department of Justice. I was the head of the Office of Crime Victim Services. One of the grants I oversaw was, I'm just going to use the SAVES grant. It was the Sexual Assault Victim Services grant, right? It provided money for advocates, sexual assault advocates all throughout the state. If the money would come from the legislature and go directly there, are you saying if money came into this appropriation, it could also go to, it's 5E under the statute, or could it not? I'm not understanding the difference between, what's the interplay between the exceptions in the statute and the other appropriations that are listed, say, in my example, 5G.
So if there is another appropriation to which the monies are credited, and so there, when we talk about victim witness grants, there are separate, right? We have our appropriation program for victim witnesses. There are separate appropriations that provide for an appropriation for federal grants relating to money comes.
Or state, this was state.
Or state grants. Money comes in, those monies go to those specific appropriations. They are not proceeds because they are not money we have made as the remainder on top of something else, which is what we're talking about here. And so that's an important point. If there is any more specific routing for the money, it goes to that specific location. And so the only thing we're talking about when we talk about proceeds from services as it relates to litigation, or also in those circumstances as to grants, if there is an appropriation for that, it goes to that appropriation. It would not come to that to the proceeds appropriation.
And then I just want to ask you a question to make sure. Actually, I have two questions. The first is that your argument is that in the way that that the statute reads, is this is 3G, which goes under administrative services. And as I understand from my time at the Department of Justice, and actually as an administrator there and someone who worked with the budget process, the way I sort of imagined the Department of Justice, if it were like a Venn diagram, is that the administrative services, or it's called DMS, right? Division of Management Services, if you're at DOJ, and I know there's lots of us who are up there. So administrative services or the Division of Management Services, or DMS, was sort of the umbrella department that that helped the entire department with administration of the Department of Justice. So the fact that the money would go to a more central or an umbrella division within the department doesn't surprise me. I mean, it makes sense that that's where this money would go. Does that resonate with you?
Yes, but I think really it's shaped by the fact that, and this is really important for the budget statutes, those subheadings, which are called our appropriation programs, legal services, law enforcement services, administrative services, do not in any way govern what monies may be credited to each appropriation within them. So it's the umbrella coverage of what the monies may be spended on. So without further explanation, for example, the Department of Justice's program, appropriation program for administrative services, may be expended generally on administrative services of the Department of Justice. Now, importantly, before Act 369, our proceeds from services appropriation specifically told us that this is an appropriation for all gifts, grants, and proceeds for the purposes which they were made and collected. And so what that told the Department of Justice is you can spend the monies that come into that appropriation for the reasons that you collected them. So that was a more specific instruction as to expenditure, but those program, the appropriation programs are the umbrella scope of the money out. So in the same way, as I mentioned, our appropriation program for victims and witnesses isn't funded by victims and witnesses, right? That's telling us if you're in 20.455 sub 5, now the legislature has broadly appropriated for this program for victims and witnesses. Each appropriation within that specifically addresses a victims and witness appropriation. Does that make sense?
It does. Okay. Yes. And let me ask you just one more question. And it, Justice Dallet asked you something about this with grants. As I'm looking at 3G, it says gift grants and proceeds. Mm-hmm. And I think that there is some understandable discomfort when you look at all proceeds from services, and that is in the same sentence as conferences or sales of publications and promotional materials. In my mind, though, I'm going to push back a little bit on what your answer was to Justice Dallet. I don't see a big difference between grants and proceeds from services. I mean, both is money coming into the department to be used to, you know, ostensibly help people of the state of Wisconsin. Mm-hmm. So I'm not sure. I think you pushed back a little bit when Justice Dallet asked you the question. You said, well, the difference is we apply for a grant. I understand that. But isn't it still money coming into the state and just through different avenues, but that money then is there and is available to help people, and it's different than a conference or a sale or publication, sale of publication and promotional materials. You see what I'm getting at?
I do, and that's fair. And what I would say is that in this particular context, I think it's the statutory history that tilts that scale, that it fits within those terms. So if it's a gift, grants, proceeds, appropriation, the statutory history tells us that these uncommitted settlement monies, right, the settlement funds are properly within the terms of that appropriation.
Can I just clarify one thing?
Yeah, of course.
You are not arguing that the terms of a settlement agreement would control where the proceeds fall, right?
The terms of the settlement absolutely could control where
if the terms say to be used by the Attorney General, because the Attorney General negotiates those terms, they're no longer the taxpayers' funds?
So what I mean by that is if there are particular monies that are, for example, this amount of dollars for restitution, that money is going to restitution. Attorney's fees, that's going to attorney's fees. That's just what I mean.
Right, but you're not making the argument this is akin to a grant, a settlement negotiation and settlement proceeds.
We haven't advanced that argument.
Okay, and you're not arguing that the terms of a settlement agreement could somehow make it a grant?
We haven't advanced that argument, okay. No.
Just making sure I understand.
I have a follow-up on Chief Justice Karofsky's questions to you. It sounds like, and I don't want to put words in your mouth, but you can ask follow-up questions after me. It sounds like Justice Karofsky is saying, well, it makes sense to put the money here because it can help people, right? But that's not what the statutes say. And I'm reading it very simply. And I said at the outset, when I read the briefing on both sides, there's a lot of complication and, look at all the statutory history. But actually with statutory interpretation, when the text is clear, we can stop. We don't have to look for ambiguities by looking at all of the history of the enactments. And so how I'm looking at this case is we have two statutory directives that apply. 165.10, the Attorney General shall deposit all settlement funds into the general fund, the only place where settlement funds is specifically addressed, right? And then 2906 sub 1, all monies paid into the Treasury shall be credited to the general purpose revenues of the general fund unless otherwise specifically provided by law. And 3G says nothing about settlement funds. We can try to characterize it as administrative services or proceeds from services, but elsewhere in the statute, settlement funds are specifically called out. And when the legislature uses particular words and doesn't use them in another statute, we have to give that effect, right? We have to give that meaning that the legislature used those words one place and not the other.
And so what I would just say is from our perspective in following the law, Act 369 didn't change the text of or that appropriation as to what monies may be credited to it. What Act 369 told us was all proceeds shall be credited to this appropriation and restricted our expenditure authority. And so that's how we understood it. It did not change the text of what monies may be coming into the appropriation.
I have a question. Mm-hmm. So, Council, 20.906 sub 1 has been around for quite a long time, yeah. It looks like, since the mid-70s. And that contains that language saying that unless there's another place for it to go, that it is credited to GPR. So that provision, it seems at least to imply or suggest that there should be some more specific statutory language somewhere else providing for funds to be credited to some other account. Otherwise, the fallback is GPR. Is that fair?
Mm-hmm.
And then 3G, I think you are interpreting fairly broadly to include essentially any proceeds that come into the department as a result of services of essentially any division within the department, not just legal services, unless they're specifically accepted as they are in a couple of instances under that provision, right?
The only thing I would add to that is that if there is another more specific appropriation that provides a more specific crediting account, the monies go to those appropriations.
Thank you.
I think there are a number of them.
I think that does help to make my point that essentially the Attorney General is interpreting 3G pretty broadly as almost a catch-all for proceeds coming into the department as a result of services of department employees, unless there's some other statutory language directing them somewhere else. And I think there's a little bit of tension there between your interpretation of 3G, kind of a catch-all for this is where any remaining funding goes. And the language in 2906 sub one that provides sort of a different catch-all that unless there's some other statute specifically directing funds that it goes to GPR. So I just like you to respond to those comments.
Sure. What I would say is that's not unusual in the budget statutes. And so we identify in our briefs that there are a number of actual like catch-all appropriations, as Your Honor just said, right? So for example, we point out the Department of Tourism appropriation for all monies not otherwise appropriated received from certain private and public sources for facilities, materials, or services related to tourism. Well, that's very broad language, and that is a catch-all appropriation. And there are a number of those, we identify others in our brief, that constitute appropriations just as our proceeds appropriation does. And I think that informs that specifically, as used in 20.906 sub 1, cannot mean the exacting specificity that the legislature tries to advance here, because the point is, we may not know each and every type of dollar that will come in to a particular agency. Mm-hmm. And so when the legislature wants to recognize that these appropriations may sort of cover these categories, it does that. And I think this is, as we note in our brief, this is where in advancing their argument that our 3G appropriation, and of course they don't think it's as broad as we read it, but they too recognize that proceeds from services, conferences, sales, that there's a sweep there that is happening, that it is not so specific that it enumerates each and every dollar that may be credited to that appropriation. And I think the same rationale applies. And so I would just stress to the court that our appropriation is not unique in that way.
Is there anything that the Attorney General would have to credit to GPR?
From the settlement monies?
No, anything at all. Because you're reading these statutes so broadly, it appears to give the Attorney General every avenue to avoid the statutory mandate to credit monies that are not otherwise specifically provided by law to general program revenue. I'm trying to see if there's anything that the Attorney General thinks has to go to GPR.
Well, so there may be other provisions that are specifically direct those monies to GPR, but beyond that, it would have to be something that's considered a proceed of a service that we've provided or one of those.
Sorry, I probably phrased my question inartfully. 2906 sub 1 says all monies paid into the Treasury shall be credited to GPR unless otherwise specifically provided by law. You're saying there's enough specificity in administrative services to sort of encompass any proceeds from anything the Attorney General does, so or his office does. So my question for you is, can you give me any example of something that the Attorney General would have to credit to GPR that would not fall under administrative services or some other statutory bucket?
Just to be clear, when we're talking about services, we're talking about responsibilities that the Attorney General has a duty to provide. And so if, for example, the Department of Justice should receive some money that is not, it gets, and sometimes this can happen where money is sent to the Department of Justice that isn't in response to a particular duty that we've provided or it doesn't actually belong to the Department of Justice, yes, that money then could go to general purpose revenues if there's no applicable appropriation. That's how agencies perform that analysis. You look at, are there any applicable appropriations? And if not, the money is credited to GPR.
But can you give me an example? It sounds like the example you're giving me is somebody wrote a check to the Department of Justice. It isn't the Department of Justice's money. It doesn't belong there. Mm-hmm. So sure, then the Attorney General will put that into GPR. But what I'm asking you is there anything mm-hmm. that the Attorney General does that produces proceeds, money of any kind that the Attorney General would have to put into GPR? Because your argument suggests that there is a bypass, there is the catch-all, and if there's a catch-all, then any money that the Attorney General services produces, then that goes into the administrative services.
So I can't immediately think of what that is, but what I would say is, there's a reason why these sort of catch-all appropriations exist. They capture that money, and then of course the legislature knows and can know, the Legislative Fiscal Bureau always can know how much money is being put in those appropriations, and it has full authority to lapse those monies out if it determines that those monies should be lapsed out of that appropriation.
So that statutory mandate, that money that isn't specifically otherwise provided by law to be credited somewhere, goes to GPR, it serves no purpose.
It does.
Other than if somebody accidentally gives the Department of Justice money that it doesn't belong.
It does serve purpose. And I think, again, the fact that the legislature has written at times broad appropriation statutes, this is money that now we are no one is disputing. This is in the state treasury, right? So the legislature can access it by law in the ways that we've provided. What it is doing is it's making sure it's coming into those accounts. And I don't think that's an unusual thing under the operation of the budget statutes.
That's it.
Thank you. Yeah.
Back up it a little bit.
I'll tell you what, let's take a 5-minute break. Sorry, Ms. Chaitlin. I know you're like chopping up a bit. I want to be fully ready
for your,
what do you say? Yeah, I'm icing you. Right. Yeah. He's fine. let's take a 5-minute break. So we can just, I need to stretch. So I'll just blame it on myself. So I can stretch my back. And we'll be right back. Okay, thank you.
Hear ye, hear ye, hear ye. Wisconsin Supreme Court is reconvened. The Honorable Chief Justice Jill Karofsky presiding, your silence is commanded.
Thanks, everybody. Go ahead and have a seat. Mr. Chaitlin, would you like to make an argument today?
Do you want to just sit down?
Your Honor, Mr. Chaitlin, good to be with you again. I will just say at the front end, Justice, you said that you wanted to give both attorneys equal time. I don't urge you to necessarily stick to that, given, you know, the length.
I was going to say when you stood up, the lights obviously are going to go from green to yellow to red. If it gets to red and there's still questions, you don't have to ask. Just continue to answer our questions, and we'll see. I like endurance contests, so we'll see how it would do.
Thank you, Your Honor. Well, I think that where the questioning of my friend ended sums up the issue here pretty well, which is that 165.10 provides a standalone instruction that all settlement funds need to be deposited in the general fund. Since, in the words of 20906, there is no statute that, quote, specifically provides for crediting of settlement funds in any program revenue account, the 165.10 standalone instruction is best read with 20906's default rule as requiring the crediting of those funds to general purpose revenue. Now, it is, I think, quite telling that despite my friend's extensive discussion, both in the briefs and references today to other statutes, the Department of Justice is not able to identify a single statute anywhere in the Wisconsin appropriation code or anywhere else in the Wisconsin statute that has a instruction that says put a particular category of funds into the general fund, and then without having a commensurate language saying, and then put that money into general purpose revenue, into a particular fund, nevertheless allows the Department of Justice or any agency to avoid putting the money into general purpose revenue. There is not a single one mentioned. Now, we catalog in footnote 2 of our brief the many statutes that have that instruction to put certain monies in the general fund, and then thereafter say, and then put it into a certain program revenue. My friend identified one statute where those instructions are not found in the same place, where there later there's a cross-reference that says the money we say here goes in the general fund, put that into a particular program revenue appropriation. But there is no example that they can give where money, other than their claim here, where there's a specific instruction to put certain money in the general funds without any restriction. And then because of a reading of some general language like proceeds from services, you get to put that money into a particular appropriation account rather than GPR. Now, I also think it is quite telling that despite the fact that we've gone through, I think, 10 briefs through three levels of this case, they still cannot articulate any practical purpose that 16510 achieves under their reading. Now, I think by the time of their reply brief in this case, they're down to one theory, which is that 16510 stops the attorney general from, like, I guess, getting the settlement agreement to donate money to his favorite charity. Now, first of all, that's a phantom. There's no example of that ever happening. And to think that the legislature adopted this provision to stop a practice that never happened is, you know, contrary, you know, my friend referenced, you know, history many times, contrary to history. But even putting that aside, that example doesn't work. Under their own interpretation of settlement funds, as found on page 13 of their reply brief, if the attorney general gets that money donation to a private charity committed in the terms of a settlement, this provision wouldn't even apply. So if that's the case, then literally their position is that 16510 achieves absolutely nothing.
Counsel, can I just,
yes,
I'm sorry, ask you if, down here,
yes.
Your interpretation of settlement funds is not a comprehensive interpretation of all settlement funds, correct? You concede that there are monies coming in as part of settlement funds that under your interpretation of 165.10 do not have to go to GPR, don't you?
Of course. And this is a
question. How do you walk me through that?
Right. Because this has been a, you know, contrary to what my friend just has been in her presentation, this has been a point of agreement between us and the Attorney General since the first letter writing exchange on this. What happens in these big multi-state settlements where a lot of this happens is that the money is, there's some money given to Wisconsin, some money given to the 49 other states, some money given to the federal government, some money given to victims. We have been in agreement that when you have a statutory provision found in Chapter 165 that deals with just the Wisconsin Attorney General, it makes no sense to read the word settlement funds to cover the money that couldn't even arguably belong to the Wisconsin Attorney General or to the state of Wisconsin. You know, it is not a reasonable reading, even though the word settlement, all settlement funds, is broad, standing alone. It is not a reasonable reading of that to say that the state of Wisconsin can seize the federal government's funds, can seize the state of Illinois' funds.
No, and that's not what I'm referring to. I meant things like attorney fees or restitution funds and things that I think you concede need to be directed to other appropriations or credited to other appropriations in the general fund, that broad language in 165.10 does not, in fact, mean that all funding coming in as part of a settlement needs to be credited to GPR.
Well, just to be clear, with regard to attorney's fees, we do take the position that needs to be credited to GPR. Because the more specific instruction on settlement attorney's fees from settlements, because the 16510 is a more specific instruction on settlement funds. On victims' funds and things of that sort, that's not the attorney general's money. So we believe that is not settlement funds at all. So that's not even covered by 16510. We think that that's not settlement funds within the meaning of Chapter 165, because Chapter 165 deals with the attorney general. That's not the attorney general's money. That's the victim's money.
Well, so where do you find that language in 16510? Because what it says is the attorney general shall deposit all settlement funds into the general fund.
I get that from the same reason that we say it doesn't apply to the United States money, to the other states' money, even if it's part of the same settlement. We look at it contextually. It doesn't make any sense to read a statute that does in Chapter 165 to capture funds that have nothing to do with the attorney general. That's our position. I understand that is not the most textually clean understanding of just a standalone phrase, all settlement funds, but it must be the case. It cannot be the case that all settlement funds really means all settlement funds in any settlement where the Wisconsin Attorney General happens to be involved, because that would sweep in other states' funds, that would sweep in the federal government's funds, that would sweep in victims' funds. So that is our position. And whatever your honors think of that, we've been in agreement with the Department of Justice about that from the beginning, and nothing in this case. And I understand that as someone on the bench here said, just because two branches of government agree to something illegal doesn't mean the courts have to accept that. So if in a future case, somebody says, well, why isn't the Attorney General seizing the state of Minnesota's funds, the federal government's funds? This says all settlement funds. And, we probably file, briefs on the same side of that. The courts could decide that we're all wrong and that's really all settlement funds. But that's not this case. There's no dispute in this case about these third party funds. The dispute in this case is about the settlement funds of the Attorney General before Act 369 was essentially playing keep away from the constitutional body that has the appropriations authority. The legislature tried to rein in the Attorney General's practices with regard to settlement funds, going back multiple administrations. They previously tried to do that with the prior statute that had a GFC approval mechanism. Justice Karofsky, I also worked at the Department of Justice. There are some pretty creative, clever lawyers there. And the creative, clever lawyers there.
I think I know who some of those were.
Yeah. Yes, Your Honor. Some of them have new jobs now.
Wasn't the clever lawyer behind this, just to be clear?
Nor was I, Your Honor. I'm saying that the clever, creative lawyers there found a way to work their way around the prior regime. Now, they didn't nullify it completely. There were exactly two settlements submitted to GFC approval under the prior regime, but obviously it wasn't working. So the legislature decided to do something new. They said, we're going to say, with an unendured instruction, all settlement funds will go in the general fund, and knowing that there is a bedrock presumption under 2906 that unless you have something specific, that goes into GPR. And if you look at the letter exchange that began this, the Attorney General at first tried to come up with some other creative ways to nullify the statute, and this new interpretation that's here before doesn't come to like a fifth letter. And there's clever lawyers over there again, and they're trying to nullify the legislature's handiwork, again, play keep away with the people's money.
Counsel, that your argument isn't really all that much about 16510, but is about whether other statutes specifically apply. Because you agree that there's some settlement funds that should go elsewhere, so you don't think they should all be you reinterpret settlement funds to mean funds that, well, maybe another state's funds, but I don't know if you include that to mean funds that would be part of some other specific appropriation, for example, in 2455, other program appropriation. I'm a little unclear at what your position is about that, but
I can clarify that, Your Honor.
Yeah, I appreciate that. It feels like the real work analytically is not in 16510, but whether some other statute provides a place for the funds.
Well, as a general matter, that's true, but the work is really easy here because our position is because 16510 specifically mentions settlement funds, then you go next to the 2906 presumption. So then you would need something that specifically captures settlement funds.
Right.
Whether it's by saying the word settlement funds, which would be the most natural way, or by having a specific cross-reference to something.
That some settlement funds need to go somewhere else for a variety of reasons.
Well, for example, the legislature thereafter adopted a statute that dealt with opioid settlement, a more specific statute dealing with a particular category of settlement funds.
Right.
Sure. But something as broad as proceeds from services doesn't come close to meeting the high standards.
That's what I'm getting at. So if you agree that money from a settlement could go to fund victim restitution services or go to other sorts of programs because some other law specifies, then you don't think all settlement funds need to go into the GPR portion of the general fund. And the real analytical work, the real question before us is what specific exceptions apply. In 3G, you've got an important argument on 3G that we've been debating up here as to whether these settlement funds, generally speaking, are proceeds from services that all should be deposited there as a catch-all. But that's a different argument than 16510. It's a question about 3G, it feels like to me.
I think that that's somewhat true, but not completely true, because in doing the analysis of looking at those other statutes, one needs to understand how specifically provided is with regard to the critical 2906 language. And it would be enough for this court to provide that analysis with regard to the 3G account in this case, because that's the only downstream appropriation account that we've fully briefed and on orders of this court, and to say that the term proceeds from services, conferences, sales of publications, and promotional materials is not specific enough, especially when you have the 165.10 instruction followed by the specifically provided instruction from 2906. And then leave it for future litigation to fight about all these other funds. I think that would be enough to resolve this case. But it is not true, I think, to say that we only need to look at the 3G account and what that language means, because then you have a question of how specific is specific. And we think that, as you heard from my friend today, that you have this catch-all proceeds from services, that that's not specific enough. And it's definitely not specific enough when you have a specific statute that the legislature enacted dealing with settlement funds that says unadorned it goes to the general fund in light of the presumption found in 2906.
Counsel, would you agree, though, that before, I'm getting the act numbers mixed up, but before the most recent act that's relevant to this case, that that language in 3G was specific enough to allow the Attorney General to credit settlement funds toward that account, and that the legislature recognized that when it enacted the previous act that simply provided that the Joint Finance Committee should have some say-so in how it was expended?
I would not agree with that. I would agree that it was true that the Attorney General was engaging in certain practices, and what the legislature did in the Act 59 is it tried to cabin those practices by saying you got to go through GFC, which obviously probably wouldn't be allowed anymore in light of other cases that this court has since decided. And then what it did in Act 369.
So, and just to pause there for a moment. So what the legislature did, instead of saying, Department of Justice, you cannot do that. These funds do not belong in that, they cannot be credited toward that account. This is GPR and you have to put it in GPR and we'll decide how to spend it. They allowed it to continue to be credited toward 3G, empowered themselves through the Joint Finance Committee to direct how those monies were spent. Isn't that true?
That was the practice at the time, but then comes actually.
Well, that wasn't just the practice. That was how the statutory scheme operated, correct?
It's certainly true that any settlement funds that were unencumbered that went into the 3G account before Act 369 had to go through the GFC process.
The legislature authorized that under the prior version of 165.10. And simply said that if it's going to be expended, you have to come to Joint Finance Committee to get permission, correct?
I mean, regardless of whether I would quibble with your word authorize, and I would, because it wasn't an authorization, but in any event, even if I were to accept the premise, Act 369 deleted that language. So we agree that that in that interim period, there was some language through a cross-reference and a GFC process through which the Attorney General could have, if the issue came to court, have said that we can engage in this practice. But whatever import that argument would have had before, it's completely off the table now because the legislature literally deleted that very language.
But they didn't provide another appropriation for the funds to be credited to, right?
Because the legislature thought it was accomplishing what I was saying.
And they didn't put any language in 3G saying the department shall not credit settlement funds to this appropriation.
Because they said that all settlement funds go to the general fund, and then you have the presumption. The legislature
and 3G is part of the general fund, correct?
That's right, Your Honor. But specifically provided, and nothing in 3G says specifically settlement funds. And to rely on statutory history of a provision that was then repealed is, I mean, generally statutory history can be a little bit of a tricky ground, but then to rely on a provision that was repealed to solve the very problem you're trying to reintroduce through your lines on statutory history, that's I mean, that's more than thin gruel or less than thin gruel, whatever, you know, whatever term
one. So Attorney Saitlin, if under your reading, let's say there's a multi-state settlement and it distributes the money to the Attorney General to be used for education about tobacco, like that's part of the multi-state settlement. What happens to that money and how does it get to accomplish what they settled the litigation for?
I mean, that's not part of this case.
Well, I'm giving a hypothetical. Not part of the case.
No. So that hypothetical is not part of the case. My position is that the Attorney General can no longer do that. They cannot enter in settlements that keep the money for him to spend on various purposes. That's my position. That's
kind of crazy because they don't, I mean, they're into this with all these other states and they don't get to negotiate their own terms. But I'll put that aside because that isn't the issue in the case. But more apropos would be, what do you say to the fact, forget if they can do it or not, they are doing it. This is how it works. And so what happens when, like, next week they're in a settlement and some of that money, like some of it's for restitution. So let's say that the state is in litigation about tobacco. Some of it is restitution for the people who are hurt by the tobacco. Some of it is, you know, Attorney General, you get to recover this much attorney's fees based on what, I mean, I don't know if they put that stuff in those settlements, but let's say that's part of it. And let's say part of it is this, you know, use $100,000 to educate the public. And that happens. Under your reading of these statutes, where does the money go?
My opinion, my reading of the statutes is that any money belonging to third parties, whereas victims, other states, federal government, that goes to them. That has nothing to do with Chapter 165. My reading of the statute is that it ended the practice of the Attorney General self-appropriating through settlement negotiation. If the money is not going to some third party, it needs to go to the general fund for general revenue purposes. Because we see in the record what the problem that the legislature was trying to address was.
No, I see that. I'm just trying to square it with, and I see what you're saying, that it needs to go to something specific. And I'm skeptical that all proceeds includes every single thing the Attorney General does, which is what I hear being argued. So, but I'm trying to understand from a practical perspective, you know, what would be the recourse if this, let's say this is the settlement that happens, what's the recourse then? Someone has to sue for enforcement of the settlement agreement because the legislature is not going to recognize that certain things could be put into a settlement.
Again, that's not this case, but I think that the Attorney General should not enter into settlements where he gets essentially a piggy bank to do other stuff. This is what happened before. And I'm not blaming anyone for what happened before. You know, maybe I liked it, maybe I didn't. But the legislature obviously didn't like it. The legislature decided that essentially what the Attorney General was doing was self-appropriating, was getting into these settlements and saying, I'm going to give, you know, take a look at the Uber settlement that's in this, that it's in the record here. There was like $2 million. The Attorney General takes $1 million for attorney's fees and gives $2 million, it gives the other $1 million to, for him to spend for consumer protection services. So it's essentially the Attorney General has self-appropriated almost the entire Uber settlement to his own Department of Justice. Now that may have been allowed under the previous law, but that's exactly the kind of thing that this new statute is designed to end and have that money go into the general fund and then for general revenue purposes. And then the legislature can decide whether it wants to appropriate that money for more money for the Department of Justice to hire more AGs or to fund certain victim services programs or whatnot. It's not an Attorney General's decision in the context of a settlement negotiation to decide where the people's money will go. That's the policy.
I mean, I hear all that. I just wonder if that limits the Attorney General, in your reading, limits the Attorney General's ability to enter into any multi-state settlements because they can't dictate what the terms of those are. So are they not allowed to act on behalf of the people harmed by tobacco, for example, in the state? Because part of that is going to be a settlement because other states are asking for that. I guarantee that. So it's just given the, you know, with that language. So what are they supposed to do?
So again, with regard to money given directly to third parties, whoever they are, our argument doesn't cover that. But yes, I do. In my understanding of these multi-settlement state settlements, I've been involved in a couple, not that many, is that each state asks for its own thing. And so the state of Wisconsin should be asking for our cut of the settlement, $2 million, let's say the Uber settlement, and that $2 million would go to the general fund for general purpose revenue, and the legislature would decide how that money is spent. The other states, in my experience, don't care how the state of Wisconsin deals with that $2 million, whether it does that the $2 million through a self-appropriation action by the attorney general, or whether it allows its state legislature to decide how to separate that $2 million. The other states generally don't care. They care about the money coming into their own treasury and how they're going to deal with the consequences of whatever legal act led to that settlement within their borders. But again, I don't have comprehensive experience on all multi-state settlements.
Counsel, doesn't the Constitution address Justice Dalit's concern and answer the question? It provides no money shall be paid out of the Treasury except in pursuance of an appropriation by law, which means the legislature, not the Attorney General, decides where those settlement funds go.
Yeah, and that's exactly right, Your Honor. And the problem was we had this JFC process that tried to rein in using what we thought then was a constitutional Joint Finance Committee mechanism to try to rein in how the Attorney General was using settlement funds. It didn't work. Clever lawyers at the Department of Justice, smart lawyers at the Department of Justice found a way around that. So we decided to scrap that whole system. All settlement funds go to the general fund. We have the 2906 presumption. We know that there's no specific statute then on the books. Doesn't mean more can't be enacted. That deals with settlement funds, so that money goes to GPR. Legislature thought it solved the problem.
Counsel, it seems to me the Attorney General's argument is somewhat aligned with yours in terms of what the legislature was trying to accomplish here. And what the Attorney General says is that under its reading of the statutes, that the legislature was successful in cutting off the Attorney General's authority to expend these uncommitted funds coming in, and that it accomplished that by the limitation on expenditure authority out of 3G.
Yes, in Section 21.
That money is now just sitting there in 3G. Your position is illegally. It should not have been credited there. But the Attorney General saying, the Attorney General cannot spend that money. That would require the legislature to direct how those funds are spent. Can you address that part of the AG's argument that the legislature did meet the goal that it apparently, we don't know exactly what its intent was, but it did successfully restrict the Attorney General's authority to spend this money through a spending limit, not through having it simply put into GPR.
Yeah, sure. Very, very glad to have the opportunity to address that. In Section 21 of Act 369, the legislature put in that spending limit. I am not here arguing the legislature has nullified Section 21.
And why would it have done that? Why was that necessary?
Because the Attorney General had found his way around the legislature's prior.
So just a belt and suspenders?
Absolutely. And look, I know there's not a lot of sympathy for the legislature, from the courts, but imagine how frustrating it is. You're trying to rein in the Attorney General. You're trying to get him to stop these practices. You enact this JFC provision, and they find a way around that to the extent that in multiple years, there's only two settlements submitted to GFC the whole time. And you're like, well, we're going to stop the spending from there. We're going to
funds. Notwithstanding the legislature's frustration, and that's certainly possible, it seems to me that your interpretation makes that spending limit surplusage and gives no effect to it, whereas the Attorney General's construction interpretation of the statutes does not make that language surplusage and provides a kind of consistent interpretation of these provisions so that they all do something.
Yeah, I mean, there's a case that kind of dealt with something analogous to this, which is this State v. Cox case, which actually my friend, attorney jurors argued when, you know, before she was in the Wisconsin Department of Justice. And it was kind of a similar situation, which is the legislature saw a problem and was trying to address it through a belt and suspenders approach, making sure it was the problem there, which was that courts were not ordering certain kinds of surcharges to criminals, was really mandatory. And it put a belt and suspenders approach. And what the argument was that, you know, that was made by the public defender's office there was that belt and suspenders approach makes the belt or the suspenders surplusage. And what this court said unanimously was that if you look at the statutory history of why it was doing this, it was trying to solve a particular problem. And that it solved the problem in a way that was belt and suspenders.
Do you know the name of that case?
Yeah, it's State v. Cox.
Cox, thank you.
2018 Wisconsin 67. The two most pertinent paragraphs there are paragraphs 10 and 19. And so that's, you know, I get the point, but sometimes the legislature, when it's dealing with an intractable problem, tries to enact two provisions or enacts a provision that ends up with a belt and suspenders that makes one arguably surplusage. And I think that's clearly what happened here. And the legislature, I think, accomplished this goal, but what happened by enacting not only section 27, but 21 and 103, but what the Attorney General has tried, again, is tried to rerun the playbook, got the really smart lawyers now at the Department of Justice to try to find another way around this. And I'm not going to say that my friend's argument is not textually possible, that it's not textually possible to give no weight to the fact that 165.10 has a specific instruction to deposit settlement funds into the general fund, and so then you just only look at the 3G account or any other account as if that other statute wasn't enacted. What I would say is, while that is a textually possible way, the fundamental problem with that, besides defeating legislative intent, is that it renders 165.10 meaningless.
So I want to ask just a little bit about more going back to what was asked before, and I think Justice Crawford asked some questions on this. It seems that your read of the interplay of these statutes, that in the way this plays out, depends a lot on your definition of what falls within the ambit of settlement funds. And I don't actually know what your answer is to that question, because you clearly acknowledge that if we just think of it colloquially, there's lots of things that are received by the state through a settlement that don't need to go into the general fund, that have other places where they go. Mm-hmm. It seems that both sides agree on that point.
Yes.
And so I think your opposing counsel says, see, we are putting them into the general fund. And so the question is, do these other statutes specify a location for them to go and which ones are appropriate or not? And your answer is no, settlement funds doesn't include those things. I think that's your answer. But I don't know what you're putting in that bucket and what you're not. And I'm not sure what, so I'm not sure what to make of that. I'm not sure how to decide the case under your interpretation that puts some weight, undefined weight, about what's a settlement fund and what's not.
Our interpretation of settlement funds, as has been from the letter writing campaign to now, is any funds from a settlement that the Attorney General has the legal authority to control. And we derive that from the fact that the word settlement funds in 165.10 is put into chapter 165. That is for the attorney. That is the Attorney General, as the Department of Justice.
The legal authority to control. So what about money that statutorily runs through the AG's office for victim purposes?
That's not the Attorney General's authority to control.
It's not. So even if the Attorney General is authorized to carry out a particular program by statute, that's not the Attorney General's.
That's the victim's money.
It's the what?
That's the victim's money.
Okay.
That's the victim's money for...
It almost still feels like then you're just coming back to whether there's some other statutorily defined purpose for the money.
I understand. I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
Yeah, I don't understand.
I might have misunderstood the question. Your Honor,
he's talking about restitution.
Yeah. Oh, I thought you were talking about restitution. No. If the money is for victims' services...
Yes.
Yes. I apologize. I misunderstood the question.
Oh, okay.
In that circumstance, that money should go to general fund. If it's settlement money, it goes to the general fund for general revenue purposes.
Okay. So settlement money that is for victims or for other things is within the Attorney General's control.
Again, four victims, different than restitution where the money belongs to the victim.
But you would still say it now needs to go into GPR portion of the general fund.
I really want to be clear because it's a very important distinction. If Your Honor is asking about restitution money, that is money that's going to go in the victim.
I'm not talking about restitution.
No. Yes. If it's money for victim services.
Yes.
Our position is that if it's a settlement fund, the more specific instruction is found in 165.10. That's our position. Now, if Your Honor's, I take the point that perhaps the best way to approach this is to analyze each one of those provisions separately. And what this court, as I said, into your response, your question earlier, what this court can do in this case is explain what specifically provides means in the context of settlement funds in light of 2906, apply it to the 3G account and allow the common law method to work out what works, what happens with any other account. That would be a fine way to resolve this case. There's obviously a lot of different statutes throughout the Wisconsin statutes that might turn out differently depending on how much the court ratchets up or down the specifically provided language. You know, there's any range where you could kind of put that tongue.
Why wouldn't we do this narrowly, Mr. Saitlin? It seems like you're asking for too much. Why wouldn't we say that the 165.10 now requires the deposit of settlement funds? The attorney general has to deposit settlement funds in there. We really don't need to define what settlement funds are, because what we're being asked now, a specific question about whether or not money from multi-state litigation is proceeds and from the services of the attorney general, and whether 3G lets them take that out of it and allocate to 3G. So isn't the more specific thing to do to say, yes, they have to deposit it? I don't think they're questioning that. But as far as appropriating it, that you have to appropriate it to something specific, and that 3G is not specific enough for purposes of this leftover bucket, and leave for another day whether some other statute allows it to be allocated there, because maybe there is a statute and I don't know them all, so I can't say what appropriation might be needed for, I don't know, federal aid, local assistance. I could read like 20 of them out of here, right?
Your Honor,
satisfying to you?
Yes. I mean, I would not say multi-state. I would say more broadly than settlements. But yes, if you just blue pencil the word multi-state, I agree that that would be a great resolution of this case. I agree entirely with you, Justice Dallet. I don't get to say that a lot. I agree entirely with you, Justice Dallet. That's a great way to resolve this case.
Oh my
God.
Yeah.
I
need another break.
Sit down. You might have just.
I asked you before you stood up whether you wanted to even argue anything. This
Thank
you,
Robin. Was...
Oh, I'm not going to have Nice try.
Oh, boy.
Wow.
I do have a question, Chief, unless you were about to ask one.
I want to go back to something you said at the top because I find it confusing. You asked the question was asked. You were reiterating a question that was asked of your friends on their side of the AG jurist about, you know, what does 165.10 achieve, mm-hmm. right? And you reiterated her answer, which was it stops the attorney general from donating to charities, and you dismissed that answer. Is that a fair category?
Yeah, I give two reasons why I think that doesn't work.
Okay. I do think that the attorney general has donated to charities in the past, and I can think of badges for baseball as one.
Sorry, what?
Badges for baseball, uh-huh. under Attorney General Van Hollen's administration. So, and I think that was one of your reasons for pushing back, because you sort of said that that never has happened. I'm not sure that that is true. I think that that has happened in this state in the past.
I apologize. I was just referring to what's in the record. They have. I was not aware of that, and I don't know if that came from a settlement fund. If it was, in my understanding of their interpretation is that if the badges for baseball or any other donation is actually in the settlement agreement itself, that is, that was like one of the provisions, then the 165.10 doesn't apply. If there are examples where one of the attorneys general, whether it was, you know, whichever one, actually took a pot of settlement money and just donated that directly to charities. And there was some reason to believe the legislature was concerned about that. I assume that my friends in the Department of Justice would have cited that example in their briefs in this case. I mean, we've been going, had a lot of briefs in this case.
Okay, now, I want to just focus in on the words of 24.55 sub 3 sub G. And all monies received from gifts and grants and all proceeds from services. The all proceeds from services, that means something, right? What does it mean? Yes. What do you think it means?
So I think the phrase needs to be read together, which is all proceeds from services, conferences, sales of publications, and promotional materials. What I think that the services, the kind of administrative services, you know, it's obviously within the administrative services bucket, that you get from selling the department's various statutory services. Sometimes that's going to, you know, conferences is one example, publications, promotional materials, other example.
Why is that sales?
Well, sales of, but there might be other things that aren't
what we're looking for. I think what are the things that fall into proceeds that don't fall into those sales or?
Look, it's obviously hard to hypothesize what specific things are in a catch-all, but you know, if the Department of Justice attends,
so it is a catch-all.
It's a catch-all. Like the things in the rest of the list, a word is known by the company it keeps.
But each of those has to have independent meaning, correct?
Yeah, so it's something like conferences, sales, or publication of promotional materials, but isn't those things.
What if the Attorney General had someone go to another state and talk to their office and present to them and do something like that? That's not a conference, not a publication, but it's using of their time to go, and there's a donation made back because of that based on their time or something like that. Would that be something that fits?
Absolutely. I agree again entirely with just Stella.
It's helping out.
So, this is getting old.
I'm really liking this. You know, so. And
I
so, but tell. I mean,
Ann Walsh Bradley is watching.
I really hope so. But words known by the company is keeps. The money you get from adversarial litigation through a settlement is nothing like conferences, sales of publications, promotional materials. And if it's from any kind of services, it's from legal services, which is obviously under, you know, in sub one. Now, I'm not saying that the headers within are like sacrosanct, but it's an important clue that, you know, and if you think that there's any sort of money derived from services that a lawyer does in terms of a litigation, it would probably be attorney's fees. It wouldn't be the money that you get from the settlement corpus, and attorney's fees are notably in sub one, not sub three, where legal services are homed.
So I really want to focus on this, okay? And it is all monies received from gifts and then grants and all proceeds from services, okay? Because you're telling me to read the words, close, you know, they're all in the same phrase, okay? And your one of your arguments, I think, is that this language is in admin services instead of legal services, yes?
That is one of our arguments, yes. Oh,
one of your arguments, sure, yes. Right. One argument you just made recently. Where does the money come in? The Wisconsin Department of Justice receives money from the federal government for VAWA, for violence against women money, right? They have, trust me, a large VAWA grant program, right? They also get money from the federal government through VOCA for the Victims of Crime Act, okay? Where does that come, in which appropriation is this? It doesn't come through sub 5 victim services. It comes through the 3G because there's nothing, and this is, goes to a attorney jurist's argument as far as the specific appropriations, or sometimes you need to use the one in administrative services, which is exactly what you need to do for that. Because if you look at sub 5 and there's, I don't know, I can't count anymore because I'm tired, but there's like, I don't know, a dozen, 18 subsections in sub 5, which is victim and witnesses. None of that talks about the VAWA money, and none of it talks about the VOCA money, but the Department of Justice gets that money. Where does it go other than, where does it go? How does it come into the department?
Well, it certainly doesn't go into 3G because then it wouldn't be able to be spent under Section 21. My understanding of the federal money is there's actually a different provision in the appropriation statutes that deal with federal money, and it's a different category entirely, and you have to spend it consistent with the purpose of the federal grant. I think there's actually a specific provisions in the Wisconsin statutes that deal with federal money in particular. And I don't want to mislead the court, you know, based on just in preparing for this argument, I was just reading through the appropriation statutes.
What,
and I remember
what grants there was come in under 3G?
Sorry?
What grants come in under 3G?
I would assume that if you got a grant from the X Foundation, you know, if you have some sort of private foundation, it might come in through that. Now, it would certainly not be a very effective fund for those anymore because you can't spend out of it. But
I understand that. But this is the point I'm trying to make is this, is yes. that there is money that is coming in from the outside to the Department of Justice,
mm-hmm.
right? And you are discounting that money is proceeds from services because you're looking at the language of 3G and you're saying, It can't be this money that's coming in from the settlement. It doesn't make sense because it doesn't make sense when you look at the language of the statute. And I'm saying it seems to me that this money that is coming in from settlement funds, that there isn't a lot of light between that and grants that are coming in, because both of those are money that are coming from outside of the Department of Justice. They are coming into, and they've got to go somewhere, and it makes sense that they go to administrative services, because administrative services is there to administer for the entire Department of Justice.
Yeah, look, I think that grants and gifts are quite different from the money you extract from a wrongdoer as part of a settlement. I think those are a mismatch. And I think this actually goes back to the framing of how the appropriation statutes is. How specific is this court going to require the statute to provide for specifically provides under 2906. And when you have broad, vague phrase like proceedings from services, when it's paired with a bunch of voluntary things, whether it's folks paying for DOJ personnel to sell publications or give speeches or foundations giving us grants, is that like enough to adversarially extracted settlement funds? I don't think it is, and it definitely is not when the governing statute uses the word specifically, but that's going to be for this court to decide. And I would just respectfully submit that you should give specifically its ordinary meaning. And this phrase, proceeds from services, conferences, and sales of publications and promotional materials, does not specifically encompass settlement funds.
What is all proceeds, just that, all proceeds from services, just that phrase, don't go beyond, don't say conferences, just tell me what all proceeds from services means.
As a standalone matter, I do not think that it would naturally cover settlement proceeds.
But when you tell me what it doesn't mean, tell me what it does mean.
It means, and I'll use the Black's Law dictionary, means the amount of money received from a sale or something received from selling, exchanging, collecting, or otherwise disposing of collateral.
Want the most concrete example you can possibly give me?
I like Justice Dallas' example earlier, where you go and give a speech to another state AG's office. You give us some CLE, and they give you some money.
Isn't the problem also that you can't just read it in it? You have to read it with the other words in the sentence. Is that why the speech makes sense in that context?
That's exactly right, Your Honor. You can't wrench the phrase out of context. And the context here, and I was trying to honor the Chief Justice's question. The context here says conferences, sales, and publication, promotion
it says
materials,
grants, and all proceeds.
Yeah, gifts, grants, and proceeds. Right, and so the proceeds got to be like gifts and grants. That's why they're all together. That's our position.
Counsel,
is it your argument then that there's, and none of this is in front of us, none of it's been briefed, but you're telling the court there's more specific provisions governing the federal statutes that Chief Justice Karofsky mentioned, but otherwise any grant that's received, we give meaning to that word because it could be non-federal. So it still gives meaning to the word, but grants, speeches, conferences, proceeds from services,
none of that encompasses proceeds from litigation.
That's right.
I don't want to use that word because the words in the statute in 165.10 is settlement funds.
That's right, Your Honor. And I was just saying that my understanding was that, there's a different home for federal monies, but again, that's just from my reading of the appropriation statutes, and you know, I don't want to.
And nothing in your argument suggests that the legislature is depriving the Attorney General's office of this money that the federal government gives to states for violence against women.
Yeah, I mean, in that circumstance, the appropriator is Congress. And so we're talking about money for which the proper appropriator is the Wisconsin legislature.
Counsel, I just wanted to just give you a final opportunity to maybe tell us how you want this case to come out and how, if you were in our shoes, how you would want an opinion to be written. And I'll ask the other side.
Yeah, I mean, I think it would be close to what Justice Dallet said, which is that you lay out what the legal structure is for when you determine whether a fund specifically provides for crediting of settlement funds in light of the instruction in 165.10, and then you apply it to the 3G account. And that would both give guidance to the courts as to how to understand the word specifically provided in the statute in the context of 165.10, and show and apply one application of it in a brief circumstance. And then for any other appropriation statute, that mode of analysis could be litigated between the legislature and the Attorney General or whatever parties were involved in that. Thank you, Your Honors.
Thank you. Thanks for answering all our questions. Rebuttal, please.
Thank you. So I have one main point I'd like to make, and then absent any other questions, I'm happy to explain in response to Justice Hagedorn your question in terms of how we suggest the court write the decision. So here is why the legislature's first argument, that being 165.10 plus 20.906 sub 1, cannot work. And I point the court to restitution that the Department of Justice receives through settlements for to-be-identified victims of civil enforcement violations, because the reality is when we obtain settlements through of civil enforcement violations, often each and every victim isn't known. And the statutes specifically provide the Department of Justice with a program revenue appropriation, this is at 20.4551HM, for those to be identified victims. We are controlling that restitution. And so the reason that it can't work is that 165.10 speaks only to depositing. It tells us how settlement funds are to be deposited. It says nothing about crediting.
But 20906 does, and you're giving an example, and I'll take you at your word, that there is a specific statute saying restitution gets credited to this account. So that's a subset of settlement funds that were deposited in the general fund, but now a statute specifically says they can be credited to a different appropriation other than JPR. That's what 20906 says.
And so that's right. But what that means is what the legislature is trying to do, outside of the argument about proceeds from services and the text of our 3G appropriation, what it is trying to do is also say to this court that attorney's fees need to be somehow, attorney's fees alone need to be credited to general purpose revenues.
Well, why do we have to get there though?
You don't.
Okay.
Except that, and I said that enthusiastically. So I apologize.
Friends with everyone today.
You don't. Except that we would ask the court to say that because 165.10 does not say anything about crediting, that's what it means. It doesn't say anything about crediting.
Right. It doesn't say anything about crediting. The crediting is, it goes to GPR unless otherwise specifically provided. There may be statutes out there, as Justice Bradley talked about, that where it gets to be credited. Where attorney's fees is not in front of us, that may be one of them. Restitution is not in front of us, that may be one of them. I hear you arguing about the uncommitted money, and that uncommitted money, does that fit in the definition of 3G, all proceeds from services? And we could answer just that question.
That's right. The only thing I would say is they have specifically asked in this litigation for the court to say that our attorney's fees, nevertheless, somehow for a reason they can't explain, need to be credited to general purpose revenues. And so we would ask the court to say that is not correct, because 16510 does not speak to crediting. That's recognized under the separate question of those appropriations.
I know that they've asked it, but that wasn't one of the questions before us.
That's right.
So we do not have to answer that question.
And fair enough. My point, and the reason why the court shouldn't embrace that their definition of 16510 controlling depositing of settlement funds as somehow governing crediting is that the same result that they're asking for attorney's fees, if that were right, would have to apply to restitution that the Department of Justice receives from settlements, deposits into the general fund, and credits to our 1HM appropriation. And the legislature itself has conceded that cannot constitutionally happen. To Your Honor, Justice Hagedorn, your question, we would ask the court to hold that deposit into the general fund under 16510 has the meaning that it has throughout the budget statutes. And I think the court has heard there really isn't any disagreement remaining. That means put the money into the state treasury and not into segregated funds. We would ask the court to hold that 16510 only addresses depositing, as I've just explained with Justice Dallet. And we would ask the court to hold that the crediting statutes that existed both before and after 369 remain. And as to our proceeds from services, that being 20.4553G, that under both the language and the statutory history, that the settlement funds, that meaning uncommitted monies from multi-state settlements other than attorney's fees, credited to our attorney's fees appropriation, and other monies credited for other specific remedial purposes may continue to be credited to that appropriation. So unless there are any other questions.
I have to go do admissions.
We're waiting since noon, so.
Thank you for the court's time.
Not seeing any other questions. We're gonna take a quick break before we have our next oral argument. Thanks everyone for answering all of our questions and sticking with us. We're adjourned.
What is she doing?
I don't know.